Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy, last book of the Pentateuch here, and God just laid a word on my heart. I don't believe I'm going to be too long this morning, because I believe that almost every, so we'll have to see what God does. But I believe that the words given that's given this morning can really revolutionize our lives and our approach to life and the quality of life that we have. There's some simple truths that can be simple to understand but hard to do. Amen. The scriptures like that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the words of the Bible and whatnot, but to apply the truth of the scripture is a whole different ballgame. But I want to talk to you this morning about one of the most, I believe, powerful things in the universe that God has given us as a tool. It's one of the most powerful things that God has placed. There's a couple things that God's placed within inside us and given us the opportunity to use to enhance our relationship with Him, to improve our quality of life, and to walk in victory in spite of the things that we go through. Amen? Pray right now that God will make this real and that we'll apprehend it and it will bring about the fruit that He desires. Some of you are going to get some answers this morning. Things that you've been wondering about. How to approach. What to do. And God's going to help you with that. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word. We know that it's life-giving. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So God, we give You permission. God, we open up our hearts and we ask that, God, the faith that You have given us would be activated and we would receive Your word to the point that it would renew our mind and transform our lives. God, help us to view You differently, Lord. Establish us in Your kingdom this morning. Give us a kingdom mindset. God, in spite of the cultural slides around us and the things that we see around us and that we're immersed in all the time, God, elevate us this morning to a new height, God, new revelation, new heights of and depths, God, and what we see in You. God, we ask for fresh eyes and fresh ears, eyes to see what Your Spirit is saying and ears to hear what You're speaking. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. My message this morning is the power to choose. This is going to empower you if you get a hold of this truth. Every one of us this morning has the power to choose. We have the power of choice. The two things God has given us, both these two things that God has given us to set us up for success, one is He's given to every man a measure of faith. Without that, we'd all be hopeless. Amen? Because we're saved by grace through faith. And if there's no way to have that faith activated, where's our salvation? But God's given to every man. That means that all of us are qualified for this message this morning. Amen? He's given to every... If you're comparing yourself with somebody else, boy, I wish I had the faith of Brother Matt Berger over there. That guy sees mountains move. Well, it doesn't matter where you are this morning. God's given you a measure of faith. Now it's up to us to grow it, to exercise it, to use it. Amen? To engage the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And as we engage the truth of God's Word, our faith grows. There's ways that we can invest, amen, in the things that God has given us. Also given us a very powerful weapon called choice. Choice. And many times... I've noticed this in counseling, I've noticed this in ministering to people over the last 100 years, that one of the things that the enemy likes to do is to lie about our ability to choose. See, if we feel we have no options, if we feel that there's no way out of my circumstances, no, I can't see my way clear, I can't, you know, I just keep going around the same mountain. It happened to my great-grandmother, it happened to my grandmother, it happened to my mom, now it's happening to me. You know, we can get into generational mindsets and sometimes generational curses that rob us of the truth that we have some choices. We don't have to live with it. Amen? He's given us some tools in the toolbox through his atonement, through his sacrifice, that will lift us out from among these situations or give us victory right in the middle of it. That's the awesome thing about God. Sometimes he'll just bring deliverance from it, and sometimes he'll deliver you in the midst of it, and you'll grow and be conformed to his image because of what you went through, not because you avoided it. Amen. Everything, if we choose to believe God, choose to trust him with our lives, every single thing we go through, he'll use for his glory. The good and the bad and the ugly. He said, if you just love me, all things work together for good to them that love me and are called according to my purpose. Amen. He will use it. It might not be good what you're going through, but he will engineer the circumstances of your life and make it become productive so that nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. Take a look in Deuteronomy at this power to choose. This is tremendously empowering if you can receive this truth. Now in Deuteronomy 30 in verse 11 it says, "For this commandment which I commanded you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." In other words, Moses saying, what I'm commanding you is not too difficult to understand, and it's not way out there. You haven't got to go get anything. This is close. He said, it's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? In other words, this isn't way out there. He said, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now, he's talking about obedience to the word that is in us. He says, see, I have set before you today life and good. Amen. Do you believe that? God's set for, this is one of our options that we can choose. Okay, we've got two boxes. Two boxes this morning. We got life, amen, and good. He said, I've set before you life and good, then the other box, death and evil. Life and good, death and evil. These are all choices. Amen. Now, there's several life, but this is the ones we're talking about this morning. He said, this word is very near you. See, I have set before you today, and I believe this is every moment of every day, every circumstance we run into, every conversation we have, every phone call or text we get, every order the boss gives us at work, or every conversation we have over a cup of coffee, there'll always be a series of choices that that moment will shape whatever relationship it's in, or whatever it is that we're talking about, and it will either give a positive or a negative impact to it. And so he says, I've set before you today good, life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, this is that word that's near him, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may multiply. That's God's heart for you, to live and multiply. Live and be fruitful. It's been God's heart since he created man. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. God's heart for you and I this morning, amen, is to have life, to be fruitful, and to multiply. And so he says, the statutes and judgment, you may live and multiply, and the Lord will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Do you know it's God's heart to bless you this morning? That's not a dirty word. It's okay to believe God to get blessed. Amen. Praise God. Even denominate, praise God from whom all blessings flow. In fact, if you have any blessing in your life, it's from God. All good gifts, all perfect gifts comes from the Father of lights. Amen. He's the author of all. And so he said he wants to bless you in the land that you go to possess. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the land and the new covenant reality of that in just a moment. But he said, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you this day that you surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over Jordan to go and possess. So he's talking about a response of obedience to what? Amen? And then he says something very powerful. I call heaven and earth, verse 19, as a witness today against you. That pretty much covers everything. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Life and death, blessing and cursing. This, in case we don't know what to do, God gives us a hint. He says, choose life. Choose life. That both you and your descendants may live. Do you know our choices don't just affect us? Our lives are not lived in a void. Amen? Every choice we make will affect other people as well. It's good to keep that in mind as we make choices. I think sometimes if we just understood that, we would choices that we make. If we realize just how much this could be, this could bring tragedy, a travesty, you know, to other people. And when we get out of the mindset of this is all about me and it's only going to affect me, because it doesn't. It doesn't. Now, in verse 20, he says that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. Praying. I like this word. I find myself doing this all the time. That you may cling to him. Amen. You ever, this happens to me every time I do a load of wash in the dryer and I take my clothes out. I never throw the thing in you're supposed to that keep the things from clinging to each other. Amen? So you're ripping, you know, you're ripping your socks away from your pants and you, okay? And I get a picture of this when he, that you might cling to him. It's like God's got a Holy Ghost dryer without the cling-free stuff. You know, and he puts it in, and we get shooken up in life, and the heat gets turned up in our life, and man, we've got a lot of static going on in our life, and electricity, you know, we're kind of charged up, and God says, listen, I want you to cling to me. Don't let the other stuff go, but just cling to me. The source of the one who's able to minister life and to give you life and to elevate you up and above your present circumstance and give you different perspectives. He says, cling to me. For he is our life and the strength of your days. It's him. And that you may dwell on the land which the Lord swore to your father, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. God wants us in the land. Now, Paul touches on part of this scripture in Romans chapter 10. And we're going to go back to this faith aspect, because in Romans 10 and verse 4, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the right of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them. Okay? Now we know that Moses was the one who wrote the book of Deuteronomy. And he's telling about keeping the commandments. But notice the commandments that he said to keep was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Amen. He didn't list the Ten Commandments. He didn't list the boku other ordinances that are written in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. He didn't list all them. Listen, walk with God. Amen. Cling to him. Know him intimately. Do what he tells you. You've got two options here. And one's going to lead to life and blessing, and the other one's going to lead to death and cursing. Choose life. But Paul gives us a further revelation of the prophetic insight that Moses had back in Deuteronomy. He says, Christ He's the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. In other words, what he's saying, he's not saying that the law is bad and that we shouldn't keep the law. What he's saying is you can't get saved by the law. You can't keep the law in your own strength. We don't have what it takes to keep the ordinances that Moses gave. In fact, that was the schoolmaster to show us our need of Christ, to show us that we are desperate. We need Christ. We can't be good enough. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Break the bad news to you. But that's what it says in the book. Every one of us, we've sinned. Every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. There is no way back to God through keeping the law. There just isn't. We can't do it. It's an impossible task. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why the cross became the means of our salvation. Jesus did what we could not do, and he fulfilled the perfect righteousness and holiness. Every aspect of that law, he fulfilled it. He nailed it to the tree, and he imparted his righteousness to us. He became a substitutionary sacrifice so that we could have the righteousness of God, which was unattainable any other way. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? He did it. So it's our faith and our trust in him and his atonement and his sacrifice that enables us, amen, to walk with God, to be born again, to be saved, to choose life, to live in victory. It's not because of what we do, it's because of what he's done. And that will enable us to respond appropriately and have victory in our life. He said, for Moses writes about which is of the law, the man who does these things shall live by him. The problem was they couldn't do it. It says, but the righteousness of faith, amen. It's like in Romans, it talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Moses brought the law that exposed sin and brought death. Amen. The soul died that brought death, exposed it, showed us our schoolmaster that we needed Christ. But there's a new law, the law of the Spirit of life. Amen. That's in Christ Jesus. That's why he says, choose life. There's another option, folks, this morning. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. You can't be good enough for it. I can't work for it. I can't deserve it. I can't be good enough for it. This is by faith. It's the righteousness which is by faith. And you say, well, any way we want then, if it's by faith, we just trust in the cross and live like the devil, we'll be all right. No. That's not what he's saying. In fact, if you really want to study this out, it's actually harder, the New Testament, if you wanted to break it down into terms of law. Amen? He says that he told them, don't commit adultery. In the New Testament, he said, if you look on a woman and lust. In the Old Testament, he said, don't commit murder. In the New Testament, he says, if you call your brother a fool, you've committed, which is harder to do. But what God is saying is with my atonement, there's an outpouring of my Holy Spirit. If you choose life that will empower you, amen, to live beyond your own flesh, beyond your own strength, what you can provide, I'll give you my grace, I'll give you my mercy, I'll give you my Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to choose life and walk in that reality. And then the Bible says in Ephesians is it 4, Pete? We're created unto good works. Amen? It's one of the verses. That, in other words, the creative power of God operating in us through faith by choosing life at every juncture, by choosing him, by choosing life, that creative power operates in us for us to overcome sin, overcome the flesh, overcome the devil, overcome sickness, overcome disease. Amen? That's the power of God operating in us as we continually choose him. My iPad locked me out. Here we go. I walked around too much and it shut down on me. It says, but the righteousness which is by faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is, who is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend to the abyss, that is to bring Christ up. In Deuteronomy, it says the heavens or the sea. Here, now, with the fulfillment of Christ, fulfilling the scripture in Deuteronomy, he plugs in what it was really talking about. He said, listen, don't say who can go to heaven and bring Christ down, or who can descend to the abyss and bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. This is a direct quote from Deuteronomy that I just read. He said, the word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the parentheses here. The word of faith which we preach. Amen. It isn't the word of works. It's the word of faith. Amen. That's where our victory is. Remember the two things God gave us. I told you that a very power is to every man a measure of faith. Another one is the power to choose. And when you get those two operating on the same plane, amen, of life, then it will revolutionize your life. In verse 9 and 10, actually, are good scriptures to remember, to memorize. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, this is what they, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. In other words, it's an issue of righteousness by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and you need both. When you get saved, don't keep it the best kept secret in your life. Amen. Let people know. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's one of the first actions that should a genuine conversion. It's, man, I got to tell somebody. I'm different. I mean, the sky looks bluer, the grass looks greener, everything, nothing's really changed around me, but I'm different. Amen. And he says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. Do you believe that this morning? You'll never be put to shame if you believe on him. For there is, now the devil wants to bring shame. He wants you to have secrets. He wants you to keep things in darkness because that's the way he binds us up. Because then we're always looking over our shoulder. What happens if somebody finds out? What happens if this gets out? What are people going to think of me? Then we start living in fear. Amen? That's why God says this. Look, confess your faults one to another. A prayer of faith will save the sick. Get the thing out there. Don't give the enemy any ammunition. Amen? God wants us to confess. Even if we sin, confess your sin. He said, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. Which is a sin, by the way. So if you say you have no sin, you've just sinned. He said, you're a liar. And he goes, but if you do sin, you have an advocate. You have a Jewish lawyer. Amen. In your behalf. Fighting in your behalf. You have an attorney, he says, who is faithful and just, if we confess it, amen, repent from, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. So we either can keep it in darkness and live with the fear and live with the torment and wonder and always look over our shoulder. Amen. Or we can be, like Proverbs says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. But the evil, he says, they're always looking over their shoulder. They're always waiting for the other shoe to fall. Bold as a lion, choose life. See, these are all choices that we have. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, in verse 13. I believe the greatest thing the Lord has given us is this power to choose through faith. Life, death, blessing or cursing, in every situation that we face. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says something interesting to them through the prophet Isaiah. Now, they've entered into the promised land now, and they had been rebelling, they turned their back on God, they had, you know, seesaw relationships with their kings and deliverances and whatnot. And Isaiah says to them in verse 1, Isaiah, many people call it a mini Bible. It's one of the greatest prophetic books detailing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in immense detail. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah. There's 66 books in the Bible. Some people say if you only had one book and you had the book of Isaiah, you could get saved and live a godly life. That's an Old Testament book. It's so full of New Testament reality. Prophetically speaking, 700 years before Jesus came, it can revolutionize your life. There's 66 chapters, 66 books. And when you're reading it, it's interesting because there's 39 chapters in the Old Testament, 27 chapters in the New Testament. And when you read Isaiah, you get to chapter 40. You get through 39 chapters, and you're hearing about the judgment and the warnings and all this for 39 chapters. And from 40 on, the next 27 chapters, primarily about the victory you can have in Christ and in His presence. Amen. It literally is like a small Bible. In Isaiah chapter 1, he says this, "Come now and let us reason together." You get the idea. God said, let's talk about this. Don't just live like you're living. Don't just settle. Don't just struggle your whole life. Come, let us reason together. Let's hash this out. That's what it means to reason about it. You can disagree. You can agree. You work through the process. So let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet. That's God's view of our sin. Should be ours too. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. That should be our revelation and understanding of the power of the blood of Jesus. To remove not only sin from our lives, but the stain of it. Not only sin from our lives, but the effects of it. Amen? He said, come, let's reason together. Let's talk about this. And then in verse 19, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. Now let's think about that for a minute. Those two, and obedient, imply we have a choice. Amen? We've got choices. We don't have to be willing. We don't have to be obedient. That's why there's an if here. Amen? So God has done everything that He can possibly do to set us up for success. And you say, so what's there left for us to do? The proper response, what He's done. Using the ability to choose that God's given us through faith, the life that He offers, and the blessings, amen, that He's made available. Amen? You got to stay with me. Willing and obedient implies that we have a choice. And if we are willing and obedient to obey Him, to follow Him, we'll eat of the good of the land. Amen. Now, what's the good of? Do we go into Canaan? Do we fight giants? Do we set up by rivers? No. And I don't believe that Canaan or the promised land was prophetic of heaven. I know some people say, well, Canaan land is just a type of heaven. No giants in heaven. Amen. No temptation in heaven. No sin in heaven. No rebellion in heaven. No, they went through in the promised land. There isn't any of that in heaven. No, this is an inheritance that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't have time prophetically to bring you up to that as far as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, going through Jordan, Red Sea. All these are types and shadows of what God has made available. But do you believe this morning that there's a land that we can enter into if we're willing and obedient? Amen. That's the first start. We got to believe. And this isn't a geographic location. This is a place in God. Let me say that again. You're looking at me with deer in headlights. When I say entering into the land, I'm not talking about a geographic location. You can enter into the land and live in Cornish. You can enter into the land and live in Hollis and Buxton or Standish. You can live in California. You can live in Timbuktu. Amen? You can live in Hawaii. You can live any place on the universe. And that God has promised, it's a place in Christ. It's relational. It's relational, and it's entered into by grace through faith. When we say, yes, Lord, we've just begun. The kingdom of God is in us. It's in seed form, and it's growing. Amen. If we give ourselves, if we position ourselves for blessing, if we stay willing and we stay obedient, we will continue to grow in the things of God. I believe the land is all the blessings of the new covenant that comes through the atonement. Every single thing that Jesus intended to accomplish through the cross is ours. Everything. You might say, well, man, I feel like I'm a long ways from that. Doesn't matter. If you're willing and obedient, you're moving in the right direction. Amen? It's everything that Jesus has accomplished through this new covenant, amen, by his atonement on the cross. I'll give you just some examples. It's a translation from one kingdom to another, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love, the kingdom of darkness of light. Amen. This is part of the land. It's the forgiveness of sins and the removal of guilt and shame in our lives. Amen. Have you ever really experienced the forgiveness of God? Man, what an experience. You know, people talk about repentance like it's a dirty word. Man, that's a friend. Amen. Never have I felt so close to God. Free is when God touched something in my life that was keeping me from more of his life. Amen. And when I repented of it, when I turned from it, God showed up. Amen. I could see him like I could never see him before. Repentance is unto life. Preachers don't like to talk about sin, don't like to talk about repentance. So people go around bound all the time, living in the bondage of their sin, trying to keep everything secret and cloaked, and let's not let anybody know. No, that's the opposite of revelation and choosing life. It's the opposite of being willing. It's the opposite of being obedient. Amen. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat of the good of the land. You'll be translated from one kingdom to another. You'll know what it means to have forgiveness of sin, the removing of the guilt and the shame. You have an ability to draw near to God by a new and a living way that he's consecrated for us through the veil. In other words, the rending of his flesh. We can enter the holiest of all, the very presence. We don't need to go in behind a curtain. We don't need to go through priests. We don't need to go through pastors or any other ministry. You can go in the presence of God yourself because the blood is enough to get you there. Amen. The ability to draw near to God. The restoration of an intimate relationship with God. Those things that separated us. Sin separated us from God. Not because God wanted. God didn't hide in the garden. Amen? Adam and Eve hid when they sinned. See, we live from the fallout of the fall. We live in the fallout of the fall. So the natural man, the flesh, will always balk against the things of the Spirit, the things of the kingdom. That it makes it feel uncomfortable. That's why we need to reckon ourselves indeed dead to sin unto God. And let that spirit man determine who we become, who we are, and how we respond. Amen? It gives us the ability to draw near to God. The land is the restoration of an intimate relationship with God. It's the righteousness of God that God imparts to us. It's the peace of God. Not as the world gives, not just an absence of conflict, but it's the peace of God that I can give you in the midst of conflict. Another whole realm. That's why Jesus said, the peace I give you, it's not dependent on circumstances or situation. It's a place in God where I will keep you in my peace. It's another whole realm of peace. This is kingdom living. This is choosing to be willing and obedient and operating and functioning in these realms. The joy of the Lord. Amen. Anybody use a little more joy? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. You want to get a reaction from somebody when they're really down and they're really depressed and they're feeling really weak. Say, you need some joy. They'll look at you like you've got three heads. Because that's the last thing they're thinking about. But you know what they need? Joy. Amen. It's their strength. Amen. It's hard to beat. You know, it's hard to beat somebody down that really has joy. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. But man, if they're operating in the joy of the Lord, it's like water off a duck's back. It's our strength. The joy of the Lord is part of the land. The abiding presence of God by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The nature and the character of God. The power of ever being broken over our lives. Generational curses is included. Amen. This is part of the promised land that God has given us. Every curse has been broken over your life. Do you believe it? Choose to believe it by faith. Start choosing some life. Yeah, but I don't live free from it. Well, you won't live free from it until you know you got it. Amen? And then you cry out to God, whatever it takes. You press into God. I want the reality of this new covenant truth operating in my life. I resist and I break every generational curse over my life. Just because other people were bound by it, I don't need to be bound by it. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been filled by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells me that old things are passed away and all things are becoming new, and I refuse to live under that generational curse anymore. I'm free in Jesus' name. Power over sickness and disease. Being defeated in our life as we choose life. Lord, I believe when you said that by your stripes I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm choosing life. I'm choosing to put all my eggs in your basket this morning, Lord. Authority and power over devices. The empowering for service by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Freedom. Freedom is in the promised land. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No more freedom to get. After that. Amen. If we're willing and obedient, implies choice. The choice we make will determine the quality of life we live, whether we position ourselves for life or death, blessing or cursing. Our lives are made up of the sum of the choices that we make. You get up this morning, you had a choice. Do I go to church or not? Man, I got all this stuff I really not do. Finally, the weather's breaking. It's funny, I have people, they say, I couldn't come to church, Pastor, because the weather was too bad. Then I have other people come up, well, I couldn't come to church because we finally got a good day and my family and I wanted to go do. So you can't go to church if the weather's bad. You can't go to church when the weather's good. When do you go to church? Amen. We have choices. Now, I just missed the last two Sundays here. So I want to throw that out in my illustration. But you know where I was? I was in church. It was just Virginia Beach. Amen. And I got to sit with my wife. And I got to get up and go to the bathroom when they took the offering. I had a revelation when I was there. I go, this is what it feels like to be sold and have the freedom. Isn't this awful? This is my revelation in church. I can go out. I saw a stream of people my age heading out. I said, I know where they're going. This happens in my church. And I can't go. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what? He's a better preacher. He knows what I'm talking about. Amen. I proudly following my brother because they were redoing a bunch of them and I didn't know which one still worked. It's just being facetious. My mind is filled with useless trivia sometimes. But it was very liberating. Amen. And so I was in church. However, I had a choice not to be. Amen. But I chose because I needed to get ministered to. I needed to be able to get up and go to the bathroom during the offering. I needed to be able to do some of these, turn to a new level of freedom. Amen. It's every area of our life. But the choices we make, I'm being serious here. Really, our life is the total of the sum choices that we make, whether it be in our marriage, whether it be on a job, whether it be in fellowship, engage the Lord, whether it be worship or establishing a powerful devotional life, and we get up and we have intimate relationship with God. And we have a lot of opportunities to choose life, to be free of every curse, every plan, every device of the enemy. remember, I counseled somebody one time their issue. And they weren't saved. It was a couple that had come to the church because they were recommended by another couple that I had counseled years before. And their marriage was done. It was over. He said, he came because it was the last, you know, she basically said, what do we got to lose? And he came just out of, so he wouldn't feel that he drove the final nail, that she had one-upped him by at least trying to get counseling. I don't know why people wait until, I tell, you know, some of the elders sometimes, I say, you know, people wait to go to counseling. It's like down by 10 runs in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. Then they decide they want help. Well, if you choose life on a regular basis, you don't get to that point, see? And so anyway, they come in and they weren't saved. And I said, I got to give you, the only thing I know is the word of God that works. That's why I do what I do. I'm a pastor. I share the gospel because nobody knows us like the one who made us. If you drive a Chevy, you don't take it to a Ford mechanic to get it fixed. You take it to a Chevy dealer, right? Engineer. And nobody knows how we're wired. Nobody knows what makes us run more than the one who made us and wired us. And so the reasons this was so successful was because she perceived herself as most of the problem, and she was very honest and transparent. And so I said, well, what's the problem? I don't care who goes first, but what are we dealing with? And she said, I got a real anger issue. When I come home at night, every night I come home, she said, I'll just start getting angry with her husband. And she said, sometimes I scream at him. Sometimes she goes, I don't hit him. I don't do anything abusive. But she said, I said, well, no, you are being abusive if that's what you're doing. If you're screaming at him and doing, I said, there's a lot of things that hurt more than physically. And so she kind of looked at me, and I said, so what do you do? She goes, I don't know why. It's just how I am. It's who I am. So I looked at him, and I said, well, what's your take on it? Oh, she's right. That's just what happens. When I come home, he was in total agreement. This is what, and I could tell he had closed off, shut the doors. I'm not going through this anymore. Enough is enough. Now, he was a real easygoing guy that took it for a long time, more than most people would. And he just said, I'm done. So I thought, well, I can't work on him. He's checked out yet. Unless he sees any difference in the relationship, he's hopeless. So I looked at her and I said, well, will you meet with me? Well, what about my husband? We'll get to him later. I said, will you meet with me? She goes, yeah. So I looked at him and I said, will you promise me something? He said, what's that? I said, don't leave, don't do anything, don't sign any papers, don't do anything until I have at least 2 or 3 weeks with your wife. My wife and I are going to counsel her. Boy, he hesitated. He had them in his hand. I mean, they were signed and ready to be dropped off. But he promised me. He said, all right, I'll wait. So I met with her and I said, now I'm going to empower you to quit being angry. She looked at me like I had two heads. I said, you don't have to be that way. And I'm going to show you don't have to be that way. Oh, no, I had this anger issue and it takes nothing to set me off. And then I said, yeah, but you don't have to be, and I'm going to show you how. She goes, well, how? And so I just said, well, what do you do for work? And she told me. She's actually was like a supervisor, pretty high up in a good job. I said, your boss ever give you something you didn't like to do? Oh, yeah. Ever hold you responsible for the crew that worked under you? Yeah. Somebody call in, make you mad. Now you got to fill their shift. And you go, oh, yeah. I said, did you go off on them? Did you talk to them? Like, well, no. I said, no. But that's you. I said, why didn't you do that to your boss? Well, I'd lose my job. I said, oh. Well, why didn't you do that to your workers under you? Well, I'd lose my job and I'd lose my workers. I said, how about if I called you up on the phone to confirm an appointment and you were having a knockdown scream with your husband, and I answer the phone, would you just pick up the phone and start screaming at me? Or would you go, oh, hi, Pastor Gary. Yes, I can meet you. And she starts laughing. She goes, well, yeah, I'd say hi, Pastor Gary. I said, so you don't have to do it. You just told me three instances where you don't do it. I said, you don't scream at your boss because you lose your job. You don't scream at the people under you because you lose your job and you lose your workers. I said, you wouldn't answer that to me because you'd lose your account. And I said, and you're going to lose your husband. So stop. Don't do it. Now, she's not saved. And I did have to tell her there's a way to the empowering to get victory over this. But she stopped. I saw the light bulb go on. That truth penetrated her heart, and she quit doing it. When she knew she could, when she knew she had another option, I knew she felt safe when she went home. The guy was easygoing, and it was easy to unload on him, and then business as usual, and he's left, you know. And I'm sure he wasn't perfect either. Well, about 2 or 3 weeks later, he calls me. He goes, can we meet? I said, yeah. So he comes in, and he's real apprehensive. And I said, don't say nothing, I'll tell you. I said, she's really changed, hasn't she? Yep. It's great, he said. But I said, you're scared. Because you think, while she's talking to me and my wife, that she's changed. But as soon as that stops, she'll stop. And then it's going to be business as usual. And you'll throw away the papers. And you'll be re-engaged. You'll open up your heart. You'll let her back in. And then the other shoe will fall. That's exactly what I'm thinking, he said. I mean, he didn't show any emotion the first few weeks. But that's exactly. I said, well, do you really want this to work? She's making an effort. Now we got to do some work here, you know. And so he goes, all right. I said, let me talk to you about forgiveness, about how to let this stuff go, how to set your wife up for success. And I found out that he had been saved years before. So he knew about forgiveness, and he knew what was binding him up. And we worked through that, and I still get Facebook messages or see their pictures and stuff where they're doing good, skiing together, doing stuff together. This was a year or two ago because she made a choice. It got in her spirit that she could do this because I just showed her 2 or 3 times when she didn't do it. And I brought the consequences into light only in the context of her marriage. And she really did love her husband. They had a couple kids. Sometimes a choice can seem so hard or so impossible. But once you make it, and once you act on it, it can revolutionize your life. You see, Jesus set us free from those things that bind, those things that hold us captive. And he said, if you're willing, first you got to see it. If you're willing and you're obedient, then you're going to taste the benefit of it. You're going to eat of the good of the land. Amen? There's so many areas that I don't have time to go into them all this morning. There's a lot of circumstances in life that we can't control. You agree? I mean, we can't always control what happens to us and the circumstances that come into our life. It's impossible to control them. There are a lot of things that happen to us that we may not have chosen, but they're still out of our control. We couldn't control what family we were born into. We couldn't control who we had for parents, who we have for siblings, what sort of abuse we would face going through life, the level of pain and suffering that we face. There are many uncertainties in life that are beyond our control, and not all of them are bad. But here's what we can do, closing. We can choose to follow Christ and position ourselves for blessing no matter what happens to us. He will waste nothing. We can choose not to let our past define us. We can choose not to keep focusing on our past, but fix our eyes on Him, His promises, and His awesome plan that He has for us. We can't lose sight of that in the midst of difficulty. God's plan for us hasn't changed. We can choose to live free from offense. Paul prayed, Lord, I want to live free from offense until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a guy that was shipwrecked, was stoned, was beat, was left for dead, run out of town, went hungry for the gospel. He said, Lord, I want to live free from offense from the day of until the day of Jesus Christ. We can choose by God's grace and by God's mercy in our life, the tools that He's given us. Even like Kathy said, some of the most hardest people to forgive, we can choose to forgive. It's a choice. Amen. We think we're so embroiled in it and we've been so hurt that we can't do it, but we can. It's a choice. God, I'm going to obey you. I'm willing and I'm obedient. I'm choosing to let this go. Emotions and your feelings will catch up later. Don't wait for them first. They'll deceive you. We can choose to forgive by God's grace. We can choose to press into God's supernatural kingdom and not be of the world. We can choose to respond in love. Speak the truth in love. Sometimes we're good at it from our perspective, but we don't speak it in love. Amen. The truth can be very hurtful if it's not spoken in love. We can choose truth over lies. We can choose to believe God and His word over every situation. We can choose faith over fear and unbelief. We can choose peace over anger, love over hate. We can choose hope over hopelessness, joy over depression. We can choose to esteem others higher than ourselves. What we focus on and dwell on, what we hang on to and what we let go are choices. The Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen. I've had people come into my office. Well, bless God, 21 years ago on this date and this time, someone did this to me. And I'm thinking, my gosh, why is it hard to remember that? I forgot what happened to me 20 minutes ago. Just let the stinking thing go. Amen. You know, it don't. Most of the time we hang on to bitterness and unforgiveness. It don't really bother the other people. Can I be honest with you? It don't bother them a bit. They're not feeling anything. I heard an example I like one time. They said, when you hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, it's like taking a poisonous pill and hoping the other people get sick. Nope, we took the pill. Amen. We can let it go. We got a choice. We choose what we focus on. Choose what we dwell on. Choose what we hang on to. We can be thankful knowing that the Lord is with us and every situation will work for our good. We can choose to walk in freedom. The Lord has purchased for us through His blood. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I thought it was going to be a short message. However, I do believe God wants to use it, and you were smart enough not to believe me when I said it was going to be a short message. You have been trained well. Amen. But let's do some business this morning. Amen. If you've been stuck, and maybe you feel like you're in a rut. A rut's just a grave with both ends kicked out. Amen. Maybe you feel like you've been in a rut. You couldn't step through or step over certain situations or where you are in your life. You don't see any end through it. You can't continue the way you are, but you don't see any way out. Well, I'm here to give you some good news today. Man, if you're willing and obedient, you keep choosing life, immersing yourself in the truth of God's word, pressing into God, he will help you navigate through. And he'll give you the joy and the grace that you need and the power of his spirit to overcome. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Well, let's choose life together. As the worship team's coming now, we'll close in worship in just a minute. Let's every one of us here this morning, if this message spoke to you in some way, let's choose life and reflect that to the Lord. You speak to God this morning. I'm going to pray for you, but you speak to God and you tell him that you're choosing life and you name your circumstances and your situations, the things that tend to bind you up or drag you down or steal your hope or your faith, amen, or your joy. Man, you lift it before the Lord this morning. No matter what you feel like, no matter how long you've lived like this, no matter what it looks like around you, you tell him, God, I choose life. I choose blessing. Life and blessing are part of the same choice. Amen. Father, we come to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I just thank you for the truth of your word. And God, we lift up, Lord, every man, woman, and child in the sound of my voice, or by recording or online, God, you're speaking to your people. God, you're filling us with hope. God, you're pouring out your spirit upon us, God. You're giving us divine options. You're reminding us, God, that we're not locked in. God, you reminded us, God, that there's another kingdom that supersedes the kingdoms of this world. God, you're reminding us that greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. God, you reminded us, God, that in every foe, every enemy, God, and that we have a choice of who we're going to follow. We have a choice of what we're going to believe. Father, I pray that you would free people up from offense here this morning. God, maybe things that people have really been hurt or really been disappointed. God, I pray that you would love on point this morning, God, that they would be lost in your love. And God, they would just let that offense go. They would let that bitterness go. And God, that they would walk in freedom. God, some things just ain't worth hanging on to. I pray for the marriages in this church this morning, that you would strengthen them and uphold them. God, that you would give wisdom, understanding and knowledge for each couple to build their house, to establish it on a rock. God, through wisdom, you said, a house is built. Through understanding it is established, and through knowledge, all the rooms are filled with pleasant and precious riches. God, give every couple in this place this morning, every marriage, that kind of wisdom, that kind of understanding and knowledge. God, let it be built on a firm foundation, that when the wind and the waves and the storms of life come, it would stand. Father, I pray that there would be no plan Bs in any marriages in this place. No plan Bs, no back doors. God, shut the back doors, take away the plan Bs, and God, cause faith to arise for people to be able to work on their situation. God, give wisdom to navigate through life. Give the grace to make Holy Ghost-filled, godly choices. God, this morning we choose life. We choose blessing over depression. We choose life and blessing over poverty. We choose life and blessing over discouragement, over depression. God, we choose life and freedom over offenses and bitterness. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us some choices. And they're good ones, Lord. They work. And so, God, we trust you this morning in every area of our life. And God, we ask that you would be glorified through this message today. Be exalted and lifted up. You would come alongside each one of us here today and make us more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship Him.